You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Carrie Young.
Zaka again. He's got DeBrusk in front. Feeds back. Orlov. Krejci shoots. He scores!
Another week, another Bruins legend hanging up their skates for good. Longtime Bruin David Krejci announced yesterday that he's retiring from professional hockey, creating even more questions about what Boston's hockey team will look like in the years to come. Plus, we've finally got some New England Patriots football to talk about as the preseason ramps up. We'll talk about all of that with Shukri Wrights, a Bruins reporter for the Hockey News. Hi, Shukri.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am doing great. And also joining us in the studio is Radio Boston reporter, producer, rather, Kyrie Thompson, also former sports writer. Hi, welcome to this side of the glass.
Yeah, I mean, happy to be here as always.
Okay, so we're going to start on hockey. Shukri, retiring after 15 years in the NHL, you know, David Krejci, rather, retiring after 15 years in the NHL, all of them being in Boston. Put this into context, how big of a loss is this for the Bruins?
It's a pretty big loss when you think about what Krejci has meant to the Boston Bruins. This is coming weeks after Patrice Bergeron retiring. But this is a different kind of loss where no one is surprised. It's rather more of sadness and for good reason. The common theme that I've talked about on various different platforms in terms of Krejci is he is the most underappreciated Bruin that we've had in the last 15 years. We all know about the Bruins core with Zdeno Chara, the former captain, Bergeron, obviously, Tuukka Rask, and so forth. But Krejci was the guy who for many years was the number two center for the Bruins and more times than not did not get the same shine that Chara got or Tuukka got or Bergeron got. And you think back to 2011, the 2011 Stanley Cup championship run for the Bruins, the biggest reason why the Bruins were able to go on such a deep run was because of the production of Krejci throughout the entire playoffs, leading all players in scoring during that run. And if not for the dominance of Tim Thomas, who was in that year for the Bruins, Krejci would have been the playoff MVP as a Conn Smythe Trophy winner.
What do you think's behind the underappreciation, undervaluation, I guess, of Krejci?
One of the things I look at when it comes to the underappreciation and undervaluation of Krejci is that he just went about his business so quietly. And Bergeron did the same as well, but Krejci, in more ways than one, for years played behind Bergeron, who is the best two-way center to ever play in the NHL. So a lot of the shine went to Bergeron, but Krejci, in more ways than one, he had to play with a different assortment of wingers over the decade plus, and that's part of the reason why he was undervalued and how he was able to make it work for so long, playing with dozens of different wingers and different combinations at a given time.
Right. Kyrie, yeah. Add to that.
And then when you think about hockey, right, what you see so often in other sports, you usually see the starters, right? Yeah. The big stars are on the court or on the floor all the time. And, you know, maybe they get subbed out every once in a while, but you see them all the time. Yeah. What you see in hockey is you got guys shifting in and out constantly because it is such a fast game, such an aggressive game. You get hit, you know, you get winded. You're going 100 miles an hour all the time, especially in the postseason. That's why postseason hockey is so exciting because the energy is crazy. But you usually knew who you were going to see out there with Patrice Bergeron, he's the captain. He's out there with the number one squad, you know, what they call the A line or the first line or what have you. But David Krejci is like this glue guy that, you know, no matter who's in the lines after that, the second line, third line, or whatever, he's got to learn how to make all those pieces fit and set things up for everybody to score and be great. And those are the kinds of players that in any sport, especially hockey, you need those kinds of players in order to win anything significant. And the fact that he did it for 15 years and you know, now is like only kind of just like sort of getting his flowers in this way is pretty remarkable.
Right. I mean, it kind of feels, when you describe it that way, it kind of feels like an end of an era. Would you say that's fair, Kyrie?
It is, and I would put it this way. You know, I grew up in Chicago, and so I saw the last dance of the Chicago Bulls and you know, the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, you know, those great Chicago Bulls teams that were always winning championships, et cetera, et cetera. But there was a time period where you just knew it was over because of frictions within the team or guys were getting older or what have you, and they go out and they dub it, quote unquote, the last dance. But it doesn't always end that way. You don't always get the storybook ending. And I feel like for a while, we thought the Bruins were going to have that because they were so good. They were the best team in the regular season and league history. And then it falls apart. And so you just kind of see that this was setting up to be a last dance sort of moment. It's just a shame they didn't pull it off.
Right. So it, you know, you bring up, I think what you're bringing up is the, let's see, having a 3-1 lead at the very end in the championship or a 3-1 lead in the series only to lose it at the very end. Yeah. Kind of a disappointing season or disappointing end to a pretty good season, arguably. So, you know, what do you think is next for this coming season? What, you know, Stanley Cup contender again, maybe, or rebuilding year? Shukri?
I don't think this is a rebuilding year at all, but I do think that they're going to be playoff contenders. But Stanley Cup contender, that I truly don't think they are. And the reason is because you asked the question about, like, what's next? And that's the question that a lot of Bruin fans are going to have going into the season. And when you think about what's ahead, right now your top two centermen on the team are Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha. Your lines 3 and 4 are question marks right now. I mean, we'll see what happens with both Chris, who may be a fourth liner. I mean, who knows what about Morgan?
It's Geeky. Like your star power, like, is gone.
It's gone. Like your bottom six is now a massive question mark. And I just wonder, going into the season, about Jim Montgomery, the head coach who won the league's best head coach award this past season. And I wonder, how will he be able to make it work in terms of the bottom six? Because that's what made this team so good last season, is the depth on all four lines. And right now, you have question marks at the center, in which for 15 years, by the way, it was the position of strength for this team. Now, that position of strength has now become a big question mark.
Right. Yeah, question mark, change in chemistry. It's going to take some getting used to, I would imagine. Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit now and talk about football. Yeah. The Patriots have finally played a football game. It was this weekend, and here's what happened.
Malik Cunningham, a quarterback, dropping back, running, and what a move to break some ankles into the end zone as he breaks the goal line for a touchdown, New England.
That's Patriots radio announcer Bob Soucy on the call as backup quarterback Malik Cunningham scored a touchdown near the end of Saturday's preseason opener against the Houston Texans. So I have a probably very basic question for you first, Kyrie. Why do we care about the preseason?
It's basically a tune-up, right? So it's practice games, because when you think about it, they've changed the rules a lot so that you can't hit people as hard in practice anymore. You're trying to get people into the regular season healthy. And so preseason does two things. Number one, it gets you involved in a little bit more contact. And number two, it gives young players an opportunity to show that they can make the roster, because there are 53 spots. Not all of them are going to be stars. There's going to be, you know, kind of role players and backups that have to earn their spot. So that's what a lot of the preseason is for. What it did for the Patriots, I think, was show that you have some exciting young players on this team. And I feel like that might have been a vibe that's been missing the past couple of years. People have had questions about Bill Belichick's ability to draft young talent that's going to be here for the next 10 years. And I feel like you saw a couple of guys, including the second round pick Keon White, who, wow, that guy was awesome. So he's a defensive player. On, you know, they're trying to see what his role is going to be. But no matter where they put him, no one on the other team could stop him from doing whatever he wanted. And then the clip that we heard was backup quarterback Malik Cunningham, who's going to do a little bit of everything. But he has taken Patriots Nation by storm with the way he played at the end of that game. So a lot of young, exciting stuff happening.
All right. We're talking New England Patriots and their upcoming season with Kyrie Thompson, Radio Boston producer and former sports writer, and Shukri writes, Bruins reporter with the Hockey News, but also knows enough about football to talk about it with us today. So what did you make of this first preseason game and the players that we can expect to see more of in the actual season?
I wasn't concerned about the wins and losses as that it's relatively meaningless in preseason. Now, years back, there used to be four preseason games. Now it's just dwindling down to three with the addition of the 18th regular season game. Now, I would say
18 weeks.
Yeah. So I would say, as far as the team is concerned, I look at it in twofold. Malik Cunningham, he is an absolute stud. He also played at Louisville, on which he's broke a lot of the records that that Lamar Jackson, quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, set at the school. And as well as the concerns that I do have for the offensive line, because we know how important this year is for Mac Jones. And if Mac Jones is constantly scrambling out of pocket, running for dear life, it doesn't matter like what the team does if they can't protect them. So that is, I look at it in twofold in terms of stability on the offensive line and as well as the offense in itself. What would it look like with the return of Bill O'Brien, who's back in the NFL after being the offensive coordinator down in Alabama?
Yes, and for him, that's really the key point here. He is, you know, expected to make the offense better because you didn't add a whole lot of star power necessarily on offense, like big-name players. So they just signed Ezekiel Elliott, who was a running back. He, you know, was a multi-time Pro Bowler. At one point, he led the NFL in rushing a couple of different times, but he's not that same player anymore. So really what you're hoping is that the coaching is going to make the difference in what it was last year when it was really just a disjointed mess.
Right. Okay, just quickly with about a minute left, Shukri. The Patriots have another preseason game this week with the Green Bay Packers, but they've actually gone out to Green Bay a couple of days early to practice against the Packers. Why did they do that?
The reason why they do that is because it is a tradition in the NFL during the preseason, during training camp. They have joint practices. So, like, you're not just going up against each other for, let's say, 3 or 4 weeks at a time. You're going against other teams, practice squads, and other players that are going on trying to make the team as well. So that's why they do it.
Yeah, and what it also does is you don't always know how a preseason game is going to go. So you can practice things in a joint practice that you might not get to see in a game. And a lot of NFL teams love it, and that's why they do that.
Okay, well, we have to leave it there. Shukri Wrights, Bruins reporter for the Hockey News, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for joining us in studio with us, Kyrie Thompson.
Of course.